Would you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts on this Christmas Eve prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and salvation. Amen. Well, it's becoming an every Christmas occurrence now. You find a life-size stable in on a church lawn or a town square filled with life-size figurines staring down at an empty manger filled only with hay. I don't know if you've heard, but there's been a rash of kidnappings across our nation over the past several years. And the victim of the kidnapping is a stone or plastic likeness of the Christ child. Communities and churches have had a difficult time keeping Jesus safely asleep in the hay of the manger. Despite the cries of some who say this is Christian persecution by some well-meaning but perhaps oversensitive Christians, police say that the vast majority of manger nappings are not religiously or politically motivated. Most of the time, they're simply pranks, and most nativity thieves are not the sharpest tools in the shed. Take a case a few years ago in Monmouth, Illinois. There, some sorority sisters decided to lift baby Jesus out of the manger on the public lawn, and they decided to deliver him to the president of the university's home, ring the doorbell, and then dash. Where do you think that this plot, where did you think they brewed this up? That's right, a bar, a college bar. They came up with this idea to kidnap baby Jesus. Or consider the case of kidnap Jesus in Fredericksburg, Virginia, a few years ago, when a woman decided to lift an 80-pound stone likeness of the Christ child out of that stable, out of that manger. Do you know how police found her? Well, she brought the 80-pound baby Jesus home, and she began taking selfies with him. Again, nativity nappers are not the brightest of Christmas lights. Though most nappings of baby Jesus are pranks, no doubt some of the robberies are motivated by bitterness. There are some in our world that are not fond of the church or Christians in general. This is not to say that our atheist friends or our agnostic friends, that every one of them would stoop to such antisocial behavior, but it just proves that not all fanatics are religious. Even the non-religious have their share of bitter Bettys as well. Well, I've got good news, I think. In a world still scourged by war, poverty, disease, addiction, and exclusion, in a world where there are multitudes of people who cannot sing with us tonight, joy to the world, because their darkness is way too deep, there is one security company that came up with a solution on how to keep Jesus safely in the manger. Brickstone Security put all of their R&D creativity into a system for making sure that Jesus is found when he is manger napped. This was the system. They created a microchip that churches and towns could place on baby Jesus. You could even place it under his swaddling clothes. And then, if Jesus is lifted from the manger, police could have him back safely asleep in his manger before you can sing all the verses to deck the halls. This company, when it introduced this groundbreaking technology several years ago now, they also offered churches and communities a sign that they could place next to the stable, a sign that would warn would-be manger nappers that there were eyes in the sky watching Jesus. No, not the eyes of God Most High, but instead satellites that were tracking his every move. Don't kidnap this baby Jesus. Technology to the rescue. Another first world problem is solved. Well, on this Christmas Eve, on this most holy night for the church, I do have to wonder how Jesus feels about these extraordinary measures that some take to keep him safely tucked away in the manger. Judging from the extraordinary life that Jesus lived, it doesn't seem that remaining safe, secured, or tucked away was part of this child's DNA. Matter of fact, when you get to know Jesus beyond the infant in the manger, it's pretty clear that Jesus was a Messiah who sought to get away from anything that would confine or domesticate him. Jesus was the type of person who was happy to move out of the manger as fast as he could, rushing into a world and to people who desperately needed to hear the good news that he came to announce and indeed enact. The Jesus we encounter in the Gospels, the stories of his incredible life, reveal Jesus to be a first century prophet, healer, mystic, sage, savior that would never be content to be locked away into a nice, sanitary church nativity scene. Actually, you wouldn't find the Jesus of history hanging out much in a church at all. He had a reputation, a bad reputation among the religious types. Jesus often shared meals with prostitutes, gluttons, despised tax collectors, and the like. I bet Jesus, away from the manger, wouldn't give a second thought about walking into that college bar in Monmouth, Illinois, to have a conversation with some sorority sisters who were getting ready to plot kidnapping the plastic rendition of his baby self. Jesus would understand their longing for risk, but instead of wasting their appetite for risk by stealing a plastic baby Jesus, I bet that Christ would challenge them to risk bigger and bolder than that. He would challenge them to take a real risk with their lives. Maybe join the Peace Corps. Maybe take a mission trip. Maybe move into an urban neighbor and simply be the best neighbor you could be in that community. Jesus of history, no doubt, would call us to forego the socially approved life script, which says, earn all you can so you can be as comfortable as you can and safe as you can. And instead, he would challenge us to give our passion, to give our lives to causes that makes this planet more humane, this world more sustainable. The manger was a moment, a holy moment in the story of Jesus of Nazareth. But it was only a moment. This baby that we come to honor tonight grows up and calls his followers to drop their nets, to leave behind their security and take a risk, to follow him in an adventure to change the entire world. And this Jesus continues to call even at this hour. I have no doubt that Jesus, away from the manger, would have extended forgiveness to that woman who stole his 80-pound baby likeness. He would have recognized that this person was a person who was starved for some attention, some affirmation in her life. She was no doubt longing to be seen. Seeing people that others don't was Jesus' specialty. Whether it was the blind, the leper, the diseased, the possessed, or in our world, most likely the mentally ill, the woman, the child, all of these categories of people who were pushed to the margins in a patriarchal society that only valued the wealthy and the connected as being worthy of being seen and heard, it was these folks that Jesus gave his attention. To those on the margins, he offered this life-changing news. I am a child of God, and you are a child of God. I am the Son of God, and you also are a son or daughter of the God Most High. If as a church, if as Christians, we give up our obsession of keeping Jesus safely tucked away in his manger, and if we pick up again this man's message, his destiny, a message that says that all are forgiven, that all are eternally loved, that all are children of God Most High, that's the call of following Jesus away from the manger. And what about those bitter souls so angered by the church and religious people that they would actually steal baby Jesus out of spite? What do you think Jesus out of the manger would say to them? I don't think he would scold or preach to them, but instead, I believe Jesus would earnestly ask them, tell me about the God that you don't believe in. Well, they may answer, I don't believe in a God who excludes people. I don't believe in a God who cares only that we believe in him or some creedal idea about him. I don't believe in a God that causes children to die, animals to suffer, or one who allows so many tears to fall in this painful world. And to that, Jesus may say, I don't believe in that God either. I have come to show you close up as a living, breathing, sweating, crying, bleeding, loving, suffering human being, the very face of God. At my table, I exclude no one. In my command to love God, I also give the command to love neighbor equally. In my willingness to take upon myself the suffering of everyone, do you see a God who causes suffering or a God who endures it along with the ones that God so dearly loves? I love how one church dealt with the manger thefts that they had to endure. Instead of attaching a GPS device to baby Jesus, St. Martin United Church of Christ in Dittmer, Missouri, decided a couple Christmases ago to do this. They lifted their own plastic Jesus out of their manger and replaced it with ornaments, manger ornaments. And instead of having a sign next to the stable that says, there are eyes in the sky, making sure Jesus stays put, this church has crafted a humble sign that says, free, take one with you. Talk about a church that gets the very message of Christmas. If Jesus is going to get away from his manger tonight, if the living Jesus is going to do what he did when he walked for 30 years with us in the first century, it is because you and you and you and you are going to carry him out. You're going to carry him away from the manger. May the Christ be born anew in you on this holy night so that you can forsake a life of security and comfort and begin taking some risks in mission right here in this community that needs so much tender care. May the Christ on this Christmas Eve be born in you so that you can see the many categories of people in our world today that are not seen and who are not valued. You go and announce by word and deed, announce to them that they are God's child as well. May the Christ be born in you to show others the face of God, not a God of exclusion or a God who causes suffering. Instead, show the face of a holy one who draws close to us no matter what we are afflicted with. Let us prepare ourselves now to go and take Jesus away from the manger into a world that needs this child and the good news he came to announce. May it be so. Amen.